We're going to do things a little bit different today. Well, hello. God is so good. So we're going to get started just a little bit different today. Before we dive into the message part, we're going to take a moment to just give you a heads up that today, again, is a really, really exciting day. We are launching the initiative of a countywide initiative where we are going to hit every home with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we are so excited about it. But in order for this to happen, it takes us getting the vision, understanding that vision, and partnering with that vision. And so today is really not only a vision casting day, but a day for us to step in to God's story and become a part of it. All right? So with that said, how we're going to kick things off is we're going to take a moment real quick to invite the ushers forward, because we're going to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings right now off the start so that we can get this part of our focus on the Lord in check. As we give to the Lord, this is where we get our heart aligned with putting Him first in our life. And so right now, as you are getting your offering ready, I want to encourage you to also get your connection card and feedback form and so on ready as well. Connection card, yeah, feedback form, all of that stuff. And then I'd also like you to go ahead and if you have your ministry signups or growth group signups, you want to get those ready as well. And let's take a moment. We're going to pray God's blessing over our offering, and then we're going to dive into the rest of our time together. Let's pray together. Father God, we just want to thank you for this privilege to start something that's really incredible, start something that we've probably never seen in our lifetime, and I don't know if we ever will. But I pray right now that that today, as we start off worshiping you, not only in song, but in our giving, that our hearts are going to be recalibrated and brought into alignment, that whatever our worries, whatever our concerns, whatever our distractions in life may be up to this point, that they would become dissolved in the greatness of your glory, and that all we would see this morning is you and your plan and your purpose and your call upon each of our lives, and how you want to use us to be a light in our region. And so we pray right now that you will bless this giving, that you'll hear our heart of worship as we're putting you first, and that you will also bless every person as they give, that you will honor their faith, honor their obedience, and their loyalty to you. And we pray that you will prosper them in every way, that they may be generous on every occasion, and that you will also multiply the use of every penny given and advance your kingdom. And we pray this all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give. And I'm going to invite them to roll the video. Go ahead, guys. Roll the video for the introduction, please. Thank you.
More than 300 million people inhabit our cities. Some are feeling hopeless, battling addictions, and searching for answers. The answers are here.
Myself on. There we are. So here's the deal. Here's how this is going to go. Is we're starting something really cool. This year, for those of you that have been with us, I want to bring you up to speed. In the month of January, we started this whole year off. Can anyone remember praying a single three-word prayer? What was it? Come, Holy Spirit. Right? So for the first month of this year, we were trying to become an unleashed people that unleashed God into our life in a greater degree. And our simple prayer for that entire month was, come Holy Spirit. And then we saw how through the month of February, every one of us are different, and that those differences are actually an asset, not a liability. They can be a liability if we don't understand them, we don't relate well with them, but they're really intentionally created by God, every one of us being different from another, so that we can bring a fuller picture of life and of God into the world. Then we dove into a series where we talked about the unfairness of not only life, but the unfairness of this very fact, that the redemption of the unrighteous, the ungodly, must be paid for by the righteous and the godly. That's not fair, but that's God's story. And because that's his story and he has done it and he has called us to carry on that mission, we saw then that the mission was that there was an identity theft, that God's children had been stolen away by a liar and a thief. They bought into that lie. They have spent so much time being imprisoned by this liar and thief that they actually believe the lie and all that he's feeding them on who they are, what life is all about, what is right, what is wrong, and so on. And we saw that Jesus came to set the captives free and to redeem his abducted children. Then we dove into a series to understand what this release that Jesus has brought into our lives was all about. And we saw that it wasn't just to set us free from those lies. It was to set us free to be who he made us to be. And so we saw, friends, that he came to give us more than just religion. He came to give us a whole new life. And there's this new operating system on the inside now. It functions differently than the old operating system. It has new values and new code. And with that, the applications that we engage life with are similar but different. And with that difference came our June series, where we entered into a series of paradigm shift, where we began to realize that we are not to look at the world the same way. And we're not to engage the world the same way as everybody else, because we're not the same as everybody else. We are new creatures in Christ. We are, in fact, the very children of God. And that is supposed to look different. And so we talked about how it would look different, and the fact that living in this broken world doesn't absolve us, because we're followers of Jesus, of facing the trials and the challenges and the pains of this world. And so we saw that God will meet us in the storms of life, and sometimes he makes those storms go away, and sometimes he empowers us to walk through them. But in every storm, we saw God wants to work in our lives. And we saw that the storms are never excuses to quit or give up on God's plan for our life. And in fact, he has called us to be a courageous people, a people that take risks. That following Jesus is not this passive, boring religious thing where we just do our religious duty for an hour on Sunday, but that he called us into something more, something greater. Something where we do live not only courageously, but contagiously. And that leads us to today. That God has called us to be a part of spreading this good infection, this new life, this God life, into the world around us. And why this urgency, why the call to be living contagiously and not only being intentional about spreading the good infection, the God life, but living in such a way that it is contagious, in that it's inspirational, it's attractive, right? So live it well, live it right. Why is all this important? Well, because, see, those abducted children are still out there and they're still believing the lies. They still have not yet stepped into the freedom that God's provided. And so I want to ask you very quickly, if your daughter or your son was stolen away this very day, how far would you go? What would you do? I want you to just close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to see your kid, or maybe you don't have a child today. I want you to think of your niece or your nephew. I want you to think of maybe your best friend's kid that you're close to. Whatever it is, I want you to think of that near and dear little one, and I want you to imagine right now that they were ripped away from you. stolen away. I wonder, how many flyers would you be out putting up? How many doors would you be knocking on? Think about this. How many Facebook posts and friends would you be sharing with? How much money would you pay to get the word out to find that kid? You can open your eyes. And here's the real question is, how do we communicate to the ones we'll never be able to connect with? Like, you know, when you share with a friend, you hope they'll share it with others and on Facebook or verbally. But, and maybe they will, and, well, maybe they won't, right? And even if they do, well, are we really going to hit everybody? How do we reach those we won't ever connect with? How do we get the message to them? What if there was a tool? What if there was a tool to go to the people that we would never go to ourselves, and that maybe our friends would never go to ourselves? Would we use that tool? Would we pay the price for that tool? See, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And again in Mark chapter 16, a similar command. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." I want you to circle the word "go" in both of those texts, because that's what we're looking on. Now, of course, the big question is, are we going? Like, are we knocking on the doors? Are we hanging up the flyers? Are we doing the invitations? Certainly, that's a part of it. But even then, how do we reach those that we will never be in contact with, that we'll never see, we'll never meet? Our Facebook posts will never cross their timeline, right? How do we reach them? And you know, Jesus said, "Go into all the world." And so Open Arms Community Church takes very seriously this call to a global vision and mission of reaching the world for Jesus. But we are not so focused in reaching the whole world that we have forgotten our own community and area. So we invest heavily in reaching out into our own community and our own region just as passionately and just as strongly. And that's what we're doing today. As you heard earlier, we have our Operation Christmas Child initiative taking place, and so we encourage you to partner with that. We want to reach the world, the other nations, for Jesus, but today I'm calling you to reach our own land, our own family, our own friends, and to go to places that we ourselves will never go in person. Every home in the region of McKean County. We can do it. We have the tool. And I want to share with you what that would look like in this video. So let's go ahead and play that video from the start. Thank you so much.
More than 300 million people inhabit our cities. Some are feeling hopeless, battling addictions, and searching for answers. The answers are here, in the pages of these books, written on the hearts of people. Local testimony books have brought hope to thousands of people and hundreds of cities. The transformational love of Jesus is being released in our cities by the word of our testimony.
Hi, I'm Darren Lindley, president of Good Catch Publishing and Great Commission Project. I'm so excited to introduce to you your church's brand new testimony book. Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men."
That's a powerful command, but the average Christian often feels intimidated when it comes to sharing the gospel. Some people feel theologically confused. They know there's a prayer they're supposed to pray, but they're not quite sure they'd get it right. A lot of people get into a high-pressure situation, and they become nervous or inarticulate, and their words just go away. And then there's the unchurched person receiving this news. They often feel judged or put in a socially awkward position because it's just not socially correct to talk about religion these days. These people who have no prior experience with Jesus often believe that our message is irrelevant. Not because they even know what our message is, but because the media has made them believe that Christianity and the church are irrelevant. Today, your church is launching a tool and a technique that will equip you to share the gospel like never before. It's an evangelism engine that leaves people feeling valued and loved. You put the key in the ignition switch, turn it on, and the engine just runs. The stories in your book demonstrate the relevance of the gospel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Don't just take my word for it. Let me introduce you to a young lady who came to know Jesus through one of these books.
Emily just told me something fantastic, and she told me that she had read one of her books. So what book did you read?
I read Beautifully Wrecked.
So tell me about that. How did you get it?
I started spending time with a friend, and she wanted to bring Jesus into my life, and I completely rejected, and respectfully, of course. And she said that her daughter had been reading the book and was saying how awesome the book was and how amazing these people, how their lives were just so beautifully wrecked, and how they came to know Jesus and how their lives were drastically changed. And I read one testimony and put it away for a couple of weeks, and then one night I decided to open the book back up, and I read the entire rest of the book that night, and I couldn't get enough of it. And those stories, the testimonies, inspired me that after having such a wrecked life, that my life could become beautiful with the love of Jesus. I was baptized on January 13th, and I am so happy to say that I have 6 months clean and sober, and my life is truly amazing. I can't get enough of Jesus.
Here's another story of a man whose son came back to the Lord after reading one of these books.
Well, our son got involved with drugs and alcohol and has become addicted to all kinds of things, and we've actually been sharing with our banker. They brought over a book for us to read, Hidden in the Shadows, and in less than 48 hours, 4 people have read the book, and Jesus. And our son, who has been raised in church, lost hope, lost everything, and read the book and said it's the first time in a long time that he had hope for his future.
Amen. And so what's he planning on doing?
He starts Dream Center on the 8th.
In Emily's testimony, notice this. A daughter read the book. The daughter gave it to her mother. Her mother read the book. The mother then gave it to Emily. That totals 3 reads in a very brief period of time. In the gentleman's story, 4 readers perused these pages in just 48 hours. We're seeing a fantastic read rate of books just like yours all over the United States. Everything about your book is intentional. The cover art is not religious. The title and the subtitle convey that this book is from your city. The thickness is deliberate. The book must be thick enough to be legitimate and yet thin enough to be unintimidating. There are 7 stories because it's rationally impossible to disregard the testimonies of 7 people. There's a $14.95 price tag on the back. Nobody pays that, but it establishes value in the mind of the receiver. Let's take a look at some benchmark numbers. A church of 300 might do 150 hours per month of outreach. That's assuming that everybody has 30 minutes of spiritual conversation once a month with a non-church attending person. But let's take a look at Emily's story.
That book had 3 reads in a short period of time. 3 reads times 5 hours equals 15 hours. A church of 300 can easily expect to sponsor 300 books. 300 books times 15 hours is 4,500 hours every single month of evangelism. We just jumped from 150 hours to 4,500 hours every single month. That's the power of this evangelism tool.
How do we do it? We buy every address in your city, and we send these books out via direct mail. Let's take our 300 book example. If your church sponsors 300 books, we will direct mail 300 books into your city, right down the street in walk sequence. Now, imagine a man goes out to his mailbox, opens it up. He sees a book from his community. He takes the wrapper off and reads the back cover text. He's intrigued, but he doesn't have time to read it right now, so he drops it on the coffee table. The next month, we send him a postcard. This postcard reminds him of the book he's been intending to read. He thinks to himself, "Oh yeah, there's that book I've been meaning to read." He picks it up and he starts to read. He says to his wife, "Honey, there's a church in this town that I did not even know existed, and there are some really remarkable things happening there." The next month, we send him a postcard again. He sees the cover art of the book, and once again, he's reminded of the power of those stories and how they touched his heart. He says to his wife, "Honey, we need to go to church sometime." But there's a problem with the word sometime. There's no expiration date on that word. So the next month, we send him another postcard. He sees this cover art again, and he remembers the hope that he felt when he read this book. He turns it over, and he sees a map to the church. He sees an address that he can type into his GPS. He sees a website. He sees service times and phone numbers and everything he needs to make a decision. He says to his wife, "What do you say we go to church this Sunday?" Now that is called a decision. Here's another view. If your church sponsors 300 books, 300 homes receive books. In month 2, 300 more homes receive books, and we send 300 postcards to the first month's homes. In month 3, 300 more homes receive books, and we send 600 postcards, 300 postcards to the first month homes, and then 300 postcards to the second month homes. In month 4, we send 300 more books, and then we send 900 postcards, 300 postcards to the first month homes, 300 postcards to the second month homes, and 300 postcards to the third month homes. In month 5, 300 more homes receive books, and again, we send out 900 postcards, 300 postcards to the second month homes, 300 postcards to the third month homes, and 300 postcards to the fourth month homes. By the end of 24 months, your church will have touched 7,200 homes and 21,600 people with 28,800 touches. Each month, we're going to email your church a map that shows the location of every mailed book. When you click on the link in the email, you'll see exactly where those books went. The next month, we'll send it again, and you'll see where those books went, and again, as your city is saturated with the gospel. This gives you the ability to pull this map up on your smartphone, hit the center button, and now you can see exactly where you are on this map. Now, let's start participating. You can drive down the street and start praying over these homes. You can ask Jesus to cover these homes with his love. You can water the seed of the testimony with prayer. But not only that, you can connect with people you know. When you see the home of your best friend just received a book, you can follow up. You can give him a call, invite him to church, or enter into a spiritual conversation. It's never been easier than with this book to engage in spiritual conversation. Here's what you receive each month when you sponsor a book. A book mailed directly into your city. That includes labor, printing, wrapping, labeling, shipping. There's the postage. There's the 3-postcard follow-up. We have to print 3 postcards, address them all, sort them correctly, and mail them. It also includes a prayer and progress report. That's what you get every single month. So let's go back to where we started. Is this intimidating? Not at all. Are you theologically confused? You might still be, but we're not. Are you inarticulate? These books never lose their words. How do the recipients of these books feel? They don't feel judged. They read about people whose lives were every bit as challenging as theirs, and they say, "Hey, if God could save them, maybe he could save me." They feel accepted. They don't feel put in a socially awkward position. They've been given time, space, and anonymity to decide what it is that they really want. They feel cared for. They don't think our message is irrelevant. They see it's totally relevant. Children are getting their daddies back. Addicts are set free. And the suicidal do not take their life. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation? We can do this. Are you ready to change your city for Jesus?
These books are leaving a mark for eternity. Your local book of testimonies can and will change your city.
Pastor, would you come and share your vision for reaching your city?
Amen. Well, I've been accused of Mike likes to just do everything big all the time. Okay. Go big or go home, right? I know God loves Bradford people, but I think he loves the whole county, don't you? And we can do this. So very quickly, can you imagine what God is going to do in this county being touched with the good news of Jesus? What price would we pay? Well, God showed us what price he would pay. He spread his arms wide open and took the nails, right? And died on the cross. He shed his blood. He told a story, and it's found in Matthew 13. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Now, very quickly, a kingdom is not the king, right? A lot of times when we think of a kingdom, we think of a geography, a certain region that the king may rule over, right? And that's what a kingdom is. It's the place where the king rules. But here's the thing. The kingdom isn't talking about a geography here. He's talking about fine pearls. It's like fine pearls. What are those fine pearls? When he found one of the great value, he went away and sold everything that he had, and he bought it. The kingdom of heaven, friends, the pearl of great price within the kingdom isn't a geography. It's the people. Notice in your outlines, the pearl is the people. And friends, how precious is that pearl to God? So precious he died for it. How precious is that pearl for us? Are we willing to give towards reaching those pearls of great price? Fact is that God blesses us to be a blessing. And in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, now he who supplies seed, circle the word seed, to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, circle the word seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What do you do with seed? This isn't a trick question. You plant it, right? The value in the seed is when you plant it. God will increase your store of seed. Verse 11, you will be enriched. One translation says made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Friends, quick question. Are you eating your seed or planting it? You see, most of us are looking at the Lord as the big vending machine in the sky. Our only concern is our needs and our wants, and where our prayers are typically, God, help me with this. God, do that, right? And God does bless us, friends, but I want you to notice here that God enriches you, God blesses you to enable you to be generous. Most of us have not come to understand this law of sowing and reaping. That before we experience the harvest, we have to do planting. And most of us are saying, well, I don't have a whole lot of seed. Well, whether you have 2 seeds or 2 million seeds, how many understand that you're not going to get anything out of that seed if you eat it? You have to plant it. And only when you die to self and give it away does that seed produce something greater that benefits you and others. Are we tracking with that so far? So, I want you to take a look at this number on the screen. McKean County, oh, we already did that one. There we go. McKean County has 21,279 homes. That equals 41,330 people. Now, if as a church, every family or single person combined, okay, so every giving unit within our church, both locations, were to sponsor just one book a month, here's what that would look like. It would take us 8 years to reach McKean County. But for 2 years, our goal, if you take the next slide, is 887 books a month between our two churches. And what that means, friends, is that about seven books a month over a two-year time frame. The cost of that, $57.40 a month, $14.35 a week, $1.91 a day. Your cup of coffee at Tim Hortons could save an eternity. Now, I realize some of us only have a few seeds and others have more, and so I know that some of us will not be able to do seven books, and there's no guilt in that. We're not asking you to do anything that you can't do. We're simply asking you to pray and do what you can. In fact, I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Friends, what's God calling you to do? What is your part in reaching not just a person, but a family? Because when a book goes into a home, you're not just reaching an individual, you're reaching a family, impacting a family forever. So under your seats is a card. In front of you is a card. This is the sponsorship card. I'd like you to get it out. And you will notice that the monthly sponsorship is in small print right underneath where you would fill out your name. Hopefully you've been praying over the past couple weeks because that's what we've been asking you to do. And you will notice that if you sponsor one book, it's $10 a month. Okay? So can you afford $10 a month? Some of us can afford more. If you sponsor five books, that's $8.20 per book, so the price drops, and the total is $41 a month. And you can see how the more books you sponsor, the cheaper the books become. And don't forget that this is not only the book being mailed to their home, it also includes 3 months of follow-up to their home as well via postcard, and we get that prayer map sent to us every month so we can be not only knowing where these books are going in our county, but praying for them as well. So with that in mind, friends, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider. No compulsion here, no twisting of arms, but we're just going to take a moment and pray and ask the Lord what our part is. But before we do that, I want you to check out this next video real quick. It's very short, just explaining how this sponsorship works as far as what you fill out and what you do with either your check or credit card. So go ahead and check this out.
Here's how your sponsorship card works. The first line is simply your name. Second line is an email address. Third line is your phone number. Then please sign and date the card. Decide how many books a month that you'd like to sponsor. One book a month is $10 a month. Two books a month is $20 a month. Three books is $30 a month. Five books is $8.20 a piece or $41 a month. And 10 books is $7.50 a piece. Remember, your donation is completely tax deductible. If you would like to use a paper check, just take a paper check and fill it out like you would normally. Then simply write void across it. Please fill below this line only if you're using a credit card. That's the address where your credit card bill arrives. There's your credit card number, There's the security code. 3 digits on the back of MasterCard and Visa and 4 digits on the front of American Express. Please remember, sign and date your card, regardless of whether you're using a paper check or a credit card or a debit card. We need all of the cards to be signed and dated. Let us know what day of the month you would like your sponsorship processed, and that's the day your donations will be processed. You'll never be surprised by this date. Please note, you can cancel your sponsorship at any time. All you need to do is go to testimonybooks.com and click the My Sponsorship link and tell us what you want to do. You can cancel, you can increase, you can decrease, or you can postpone. Let us know exactly what you'd like to do and we will help you with it. If you forget this website, simply call the church and say, I'd like to talk to the publishing company about my sponsorship. They'll give you our phone number and you can call anytime. We will respond to you immediately. Please do not take your monthly sponsorship card home. Turn it in today at the book table and we're going to do something special. Whatever amount of books you sponsored, you're going to get free matching bonus books. So today only, if you turn in your sponsorship card and you sponsored 5 books, we're going to give you 5 books. If you sponsored 10 books, we're going to give you 10 free books today. If you sponsored 25, we're going to give you 25. Remember, your sponsorship card must be turned in today. So head back to the table. There will be somebody there to help you. They'll go over your card and they'll give you your matching bonus books today. Thank you for partnering with Great Commission Project to reach your city for Christ.
So, 2 things we're going to do as we leave, as we close. Number one, we're going to pray for God's guidance. And not only God's guidance in what we're going to do as far as sponsoring, but we're going to pray in advance for these books that are going to be going out into the community and into our region and how God's going to use them to touch and change lives. And then after that, we will dismiss, and how we're going to dismiss is those that are representing a family, or if you're a single person here today and you have your sponsor card, those with sponsorship cards that are going to sponsor books, we're going to invite you to make your way to the back table back there with Becca and Hannah and Annette, and they're going to go ahead and process your card and get you the books that you're sponsoring on a monthly basis. Those that do a monthly sponsorship that's ongoing, whatever amount of books you're sponsoring are the number of books you get to take today to just give out at your own leisure. And then, but if you're just sponsoring a one-time gift, which you can do, then there are no books to give out because those will be sent out, okay? All right, so let's take a moment to pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this day. And we've been spending this entire year building up to this point where we are unleashing something into our region that is bigger than any of us and bigger than all of us put together. We trust that your story will continue and that you will meet every person in every home in this county as we endeavor to be a part of your kingdom work, as we endeavor to support this work. Lord, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit will come, that your Holy Spirit will move in each of our hearts. Give us the guidance, the wisdom, and that understanding as to how you want to use us. What's our part? How many seeds are we going to be planting? And Lord, I just pray right now that with a very cheerful heart, every one of us will be able to get up and leave this building with a conscience that's not only clear, but full of cheer, as we're full of the joy of the Lord, that we are stepping into a story that's bigger, a story that's greater than, a story that's going to change families and lives for eternity. We pray your blessings upon every book that will go out, that it will be more than just a book and more than just a message, but that your Holy Spirit will infuse every page, every word in those pages, so that as people just handle the book from mailman to mailbox, from mailbox into the home and every member of the home, that there will be that presence of God touching their life, and every word will leap off the page and speak to them and meet them, and that they will have a God encounter. And Lord, we don't know what church they will land in, and we really aren't concerned about that. Our big concern here is that every one of them will come to Jesus, that they will get plugged into a faith family, and that they will grow, and that they will spend forever with you. So thank you for the privilege of being a part of your kingdom work. And we pray right now that you'll show us our part. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.